with me, please. Father, we thank you for the beauty of this day, for the worship that lifts our heart above this that we live in, Lord, and takes us into that place with you. Father, I pray that as we go through this week, beginning today, that you would make us aware. Make us aware of your presence and of what you have done and what you are doing. Lord, I pray that you would breathe life into these words this morning. And I would pray that you would prepare all of our hearts to receive them. And I pray that you would bring good fruit out of the seed that you would plant today. We give you thanks and praise for your presence here with us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week marks the beginning of the end, or the end of the beginning. This week separates and brings a new dimension to an old story. This week and the events of this week over the last 2,000 years have simply changed everything. It had been coming this week. All along, it had been part of God's great plan of redemption. He was going to come and he was going to do something dramatic and startling. He was going to redeem the lost man. It started long ago, this story did, this week did, in an ancient place in an ancient time. Actually, it started in the beginning. Everything in history led up to this week and the stunning events of this week. It started, all of it, a long time ago in a garden, place of perfect harmony and a peace and fellowship. It started when a man and woman were tempted and fell, and they knew immediately that it was not good. So they both, Adam and Eve, made garments for themselves from the leaves of the vines there in the garden. And not only did they make something to cover up their nakedness, they hid from God. And we know the story, all of us do, don't we? You know, man says, she made me do it. And after all, you gave her to me. It was your fault too. And then the woman looks over and says, the serpent made me do it. And we begin the cycle of sin and blame that has become a true part of our DNA. They made me do it. He made me do it. God, you made me do it. You put me in this circumstance. And then we see that God made a garment for Adam and Eve. But this one was from the skin of animals. Blood had to be shed in order to cover their nakedness and sin. And then God cast them out of that beautiful garden and away from his presence. But there is hidden a promise in the scriptures as God tells the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. God promises from the third chapter of Genesis to fix the problem. And he covers them and he sends them away. And for all those years between that day and the day we celebrate today, or the Palm Sunday that happened 2,000 years ago, everything stayed pretty much the same. There was still the covering from the animals, for the shedding of the blood of the animals to cover their sin. But as I said in the beginning of this week and the events of this week changed everything forever. This day that we call Palm Sunday, or the triumphant entry, began that week. Jesus offended and drew. He offended the religious leaders of the day and those who thought he was just a charlatan of some sort. But he drew those who were seeking and needy and broken. Some wanted to kill him. Others wanted to make him king. A more divided situation you're not going to find any place than was found here. Life and death, love and hate, all boiling together in that same pot, in that same place, in that little town called Jerusalem, around Jerusalem where Jesus was. And the strange thing was, that name of that town was Peace. and it was anything but peaceful. It was like a boiling kettle that was just full of bubbly things. But this day, the day that we celebrate today, Palm Sunday, everybody seemed to pull together. It swelled to a frantic mass of people, all who were following Jesus, this one who had raised the dead, fed the thousands, and sent demons screaming. Jesus was their answer. They knew it. He had the power. He could deliver them, not only from Rome, but from the power of evil that they knew was around. Jesus knew where he was headed. He was headed to the cross. They didn't have a clue. They didn't know. So when Jesus and his disciples entered, the people did something that was very ordinary, but it was very symbolic. They took off their outer garments and they laid them on the ground before Jesus. They shouted, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" Just like the scripture was read. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But oh my, how things changed in only a few short days. It almost seems that when they removed those garments, sin began to be exposed. It was as though the garments that God had made for Adam and Eve and placed it on them those years ago were being discarded as they lay them on the ground in front of Jesus, taken off because a new garment was coming. This time, it would be with blood, but it would be the blood of a spotless, holy lamb that would remove sin once for all. So when the garments were removed, their hearts were revealed. And in the next few days, we see it all. We see one disciple who betrays Jesus for a handful of coins. We see several disciples who were his closest friends as they slept, seemingly unconcerned as what was going on around them. One disciple took up a sword to fight in the flesh, a battle to protect Jesus that should have been fought in the spirit. And that same disciple denied Jesus then, just in a blink of an eye. Not once, not twice, but three times. The others abandoned him. They fled. They went running in fear. And the crowd that had cried, "Hosanna," now cried, "Crucify him." Yes, it seems that all that was covered that day, that Palm Sunday, as they shouted, "Hosanna," was revealed. This week marks the beginning of the removal of the covering made with our own hands and offers us the true garments given by God alone. One purchased by God, by the blood of his only Son. Jesus does not cover up our sins. He takes them away. We are set free to live a holy life with and for God, in fellowship with him again, in fellowship with one another. In John 1:29, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He doesn't say, behold the Lamb of God who's going to cover it up for you. He doesn't say he's going to make everything all right with the big man upstairs. He says, this is the Lamb of God who is going to shed his blood that you may be covered in your sin, forgiven and washed away. What was scarlet will be as white as snow, and you will be new. And you know, I've discovered that it still works the same way today. It is at the time of crisis and upheaval and transition in our life that we discover what is in our hearts. At one time in my life, I felt pretty daggone good about myself. Thank you very much. I was doing it all right. Most of the time I went to church, I prayed, I had quiet time. I even served others. I was pretty daggone good. Like the crowd, I cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, and didn't have a clue what I was saying. Didn't have a clue what it all meant. That was until my world fell apart and I was threatened and everything seemed to not make any sense to me anymore at all. It was then that the garment that covered my self-effort and good work, they were pulled off. And I stood there naked before God. It was then I realized that underneath this covering of good work and all these good things was a heart that was full of murder. I actually wanted some people to just be taken away, done away with, out of my life, out of my sight, so I wouldn't have to think about them or be bothered with them anymore. And Jesus says that is murder. And I had to come face to face with the fact that the works of my flesh were nothing but filthy rags, covered up by what looked really good. How we respond to this revealing of our sin reveals much about us. Judas, when he realized what he had done, he went out and hanged himself. He had no faith, no hope, only despair. And despair brought him to end his life. Peter, on the other hand, was ashamed, grieved, went off hanging his head. The others did the same, realizing what they had done, how they had blown it. And the amazing thing is that Jesus went after them. He went seeking them. He knew that it was only the beginning for them. And he knew that this step was very necessary. It was necessary for them to be able to become all that he had created them to be. They had to see what was really inside of them. He knew that until they knew what was in them, they would always be working out of this that looked good, but was their flesh. It was what they believed to be good. It was in them. He revealed it so he could heal it. And that's what he does. We get in situations in our life and we think, I am going to die here. Well, something's going to die. And hopefully, it's that self that strives. Our good often stands in the way of his best. And yet, for some reason, we hold on for dear life. Our good often starts in the way that just we had the best intentions in the world. Peter had the best intentions in the world when he pulled out that sword and struck that servant and cut off his ear. He was not being evil. He had the best he was protecting Jesus. It was good. It wasn't best. And you know, Thomas, even when Thomas said, I got to see, I got to know, I want the facts. That's not a bad thing. But faith is better. Blessed are those who don't see and believe. These disciples and all the people went into the week with all their good as well as all of their evil. It was their response to the revelation of that good and evil that either empowered them to be mighty instruments in God's hands or to be angry and depressed and without hope. A quote from Andrew of Crete. So it is ourselves that we must spread under Christ's feet, not coats or lifeless branches or shoots of trees, matter which wastes away and delights the eye for only a few brief moments. But we have clothed ourselves with Christ's grace for the whole Christ, for as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So let us spread ourselves out like coats under his feet. And what this means is, let's open ourselves and allow him to reveal those things that keep us from becoming what he wants us to be. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. And a person has to really know who Christ is in order to do that. It's very important that we understand and know that Jesus is the Son of God and he did die to take away the sin of the world before we're any way able to come under the scrutiny of laying our lives down under his feet. This is a quote from Oswald Chambers. It is not just a question of giving up sin or of giving up my natural independence and self-assertiveness, and this is where the battle is to be fought. It is the right and noble and good from the natural standpoint that keeps us back from God's best. Very few of us debate with the evil and wrong, but we do have a problem with the good. It is the good that hates the best. And the better you get naturally, the more intense the battle is going to be. It's one reason people who are seen as good moral people have a difficult understanding of their need for salvation. But someone who is fallen and broken knows that there is nothing good in them. We are all called to a funeral of our own independence. We must give up everything that has come from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Today, as we celebrate and participate, as our hearts cry out, Hosanna, let's purpose to walk through this week with Jesus. Not running and hiding, not getting caught up in the crowd, but let each of us follow each moment from the Last Supper, which is filled with promise and love and hope, to the garden, which is filled with temptation and confusion, to the cross, where we find a place of death. So that next Sunday, when we come here, we can all say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. And that's Galatians 2:20. So how do we do this week? How do we set ourselves apart? That our coats, our lives, our beings would be laid before Jesus today. That the Holy Spirit can reveal to our hearts the things that we see keep covered and hidden in order to really celebrate. Well, you know, it's simple, yet it takes everything for us to do it. It is by facing our sin, facing those things that we call good, and agreeing with God when it's not. It is by repenting of the things that the Holy Spirit will show you. And you may be surprised at some of these things and what they are. You may think that you are doing good, and you may actually be doing some good. But it is not the best. And God wants the best for each one of us. Then it is by trusting. Trusting that God is faithful. He's true. He does forgive us, each one of us. He loves you more than you can ever imagine or dream. It's casting yourself and all that you are at his feet today and surrendering your whole life to him. How's it done? One moment to the next moment to the next moment to the day to the next day to the next day for the rest of your life. We are on a journey, and it's a journey of becoming as the grave clothes fall away, as the clothes of our good work, which are nothing more than filthy rags, fall away, and as we see ourselves as redeemed, glorious beings that God loves. There is no sin so great. There is no failure so deep. There is no wound, no offense that can hold a candle to the light of God. It matters not what you have done or what has been done against you. Freedom is yours. Let's walk through this room rejoicing, joining in the fellowship, knowing that we're going to understand and know that the temptations are going to come because we've asked God to show us. And then taking those things and laying them down that Christ might be glorified in our life. Then, at our journey's end, we will be made like him. But until then, it's a journey. And it's one we're on together. Let us encourage one another. Let us forgive one another. Let us seek reconciliation. Let us be willing to open our hands to all that we are, that God may give us the best. That's what I want. Is that not what you want for your life? The best. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you truly have overcome sin and death. You, Lord God, have made a way where there was no way. You have opened up life for each one of us. I pray as we go through this week, we would be so aware. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and fall upon the life of each person in this room. That we would be caught up in you. And those things, Lord God, that hinder us, those things that block us from having life abundantly, that you would lead us to repentance, that you would forgive and cleanse us. And Father, I pray that that scripture I read, that I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but you who live in me, would be the testimony of everyone in this room. We give you thanks and we give you praise for this day. I thank you for the story, Lord God. I thank you that you are the master storyteller. And you call us into the story. So we thank you that we are allowed to be part of this story. Help us cry Hosanna from the depths of our being. And we just give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.